In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Isaiah 44 verse 3, he says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon dry ground. He says, I will pour my spirit upon your descendants and my blessing upon your offspring. The outpouring is only to those who are hungry. Huh? Salvation is by faith, but the release of his power of his spirit is by hunger. I'd like you to take a posture that allows you to pray. Before we get into the business of today, I'd like you to place a demand on heaven. Lord, let your power, let your grace, let your anointing, and let it be whatever you have to ask. Rest upon me in this service. Lift your voice and cry like someone who is desperate. Open your mouth and cry to him. Let it rest on me. Let it rest on me. Rest on me. The grace called favor. The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the highest. Are you crying to him tonight? Let it rest on me. Let something rest on my life. That's why I'm here. That's why I came. Something from heaven fall on my life, on my destiny. I know that you have seen enough, but there is yet more in God that you can see. Open your mouth and cry. Let it rest on me. Let it rest on me. Let it rest on me. The grace that I need in this season rests upon my life. Rest upon my business. Rest upon my ministry. Rest upon my head. Open your mouth and cry to Elohim. Open your mouth and cry to him. Let it rest. Let it rest. Let it rest. Ala barakato seka bariata. Malaka praskete brende kerego si bariata ranama. Malaka prasoto rogobo si bariata.
Rest on me.
20. One more prayer before we are seated. And I'm truly happy with the way many of us are praying. It shows that you are hungry and you are set for what God is about to do. I want you to know by an announcement from heaven that this service will be a turning point in somebody's life. If it was not so, I wouldn't say it. I say it again. This service will be a turning point in someone's life. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's start from verse 19. There's a verse I'm looking for. We're going to pray one more prayer before we are seated. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Makra telebroho kos kadamaha. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 21. That's the verse. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh. How? By the word of the Lord. You are going to cry to God and say, Lord, encounter me by your word in this service. The Bible says that the Lord revealed himself by the word to Samuel. Open your mouth and ask him to encounter you tonight. Young and old, man or woman, boy or girl, lift your voice and cry, Lord, reveal yourself to me by the power of your word. Appear to me in this service by your word. Let it not just be the hearing, but the power to become, the power to see, the power to behold and be transformed, the power to behold and become. The power that opens the eyes of men. By the power of your word. Open your mouth.
Your words. Like fire, like rain, let your glory come. Like fire, like rain, let it fall. Like fire, like rain, let your glory, oh, like fire, like rain, let it fall. Like fire, like rain,
sing it,
let your glory.
Pursue the knowledge of the Lord, for his going forth is as the morning, and he shall return to us again as the rain, as the former and the latter rain on the earth. Thank you, Jesus.
wanna be.
That's where I wanna be.
So take. raise your voice and say, make your place. And in my life,
Father, we ask tonight that you would take your place. We ask, Lord, that you will cause an outpouring of your power and of your spirit in this place like never. Let this service be truly an encounter for somebody. May our lives never remain the same. By the entrance of your word, bring wisdom, bring understanding, and bring faith. And let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Please take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Welcome you to Pneumatech, and we assure you of one thing in this place, that you will experience the wisdom, presence, and power of Jesus Christ. And I know that God has gathered us today to mark a turning point in our lives and in our walk with the Lord, in Jesus' name. My prayer is that every one of us will receive everything that is the reason for why we came to this place. You believe it? Say a big amen. In Jesus' name. Let me begin by asking us to sincerely put our hands together for ourselves. And my reason for asking us to do that is, I have to tell you the truth, that I honor and appreciate and acknowledge the sacrifice that every one of us here, and even those who are watching online, are making every week to be in this place. Especially those of us that have been coming again and again. Those of us that keep following every now and then. I know it is because you love God, and I know it is because you are serious about your life and your destiny. And I think it's an effort that is worthy of acknowledgement. And I want to assure us of one thing. See, God is making us in this place. We are becoming something. You may not see it yet. It may take a while. And I always believe that if your transformation takes a long while, it can be just one of two things. Either the individual is not yielding as they should, or if the individual is truly yielded to the Lord and to the process that is required for their growth and for their transformation, then it is because that person has a destiny that is heavy, a heavy duty destiny. And so your change will not just happen in an instant. When you plant maize, now we are in northern Nigeria, so we are in an agrarian society. If you plant maize, 90 days, at most 120 days, you can harvest it. It's different from when you plant a mango or an orange. In fact, there is a tree that is often referred to. Is it the Chinese elephant tree or the Chinese bamboo tree or so? It is said about this tree that after 2 years, it has still not come out of the ground. The reason is because it's growing inside the ground, taking roots downward. Then after a couple of months, you see a little shoot. And then the growth that you see upon the ground can can happen in a few months. Once it starts coming out from the ground, in a few months it has become a tree. So when your season for manifestation comes, it will come with speed and it will come in an instant. And God will prove everybody wrong who thinks you just appeared from nowhere. Because God has been making you in the secret place. Now I want you to know that God is making us here. We are becoming something. Already many of you can see the change in your mind, in your thinking, in your thought pattern. Just give God more time and keep surrendering yourself to the process. And like Paul told Timothy, he said that your profiting will be made known to all. And I pray in the name of Jesus that God will ensure not only in this season, but in the seasons to come, God will ensure that your profit will manifest and will be made known to everybody around you. God will begin to produce evidences in your life as a sign that you trust in Him and as a sign that you are walking with Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Now let's get to the business of the day. The topic for today is the end time move. The end time move. On your own, you can put the end time move of God if you want to. But of course, when we say the end time move, we know we are talking about God. Even if Satan wants to move, he will stop his own. I hope you know. That's why that lady sang that song. There is an army rising up to break every chain. So the end time move is definitely of God. In bracket, right? Understanding the last day revival. Understanding the last day revival. Want to try and wrap up this series of revival. And I believe that this month has been a spiritual month for many of us. And we have seen an overflow of the presence and the grace of God in this place like never before. I can tell you the honest truth that the things that God does, half of it is not shared as testimonies here. Somebody sent me a testimony during the week. The person may be watching now. And said that when we went for, been following me on whatever, Instagram or whatever. So he said when we went for Glory Summit in Abuja, the person was there, came with a friend. And the person said that after that meeting, of course, said a lot about the meeting. He said that he went back and by the next day, he could not eat breakfast. He just sat at the parlor. And he continued the next day. Continued the third day. So he went to meet his friend who they came for Glory Summit together with. And the friend had been experiencing the same thing. So they decided, you know what, since there's an appetite in us to fast and seek God, let's continue. They joined their hands, entered into a fast, and they did 3 days dry fasting. And he said when they finished the fast, it was as if they just started. Now, after that fast, he said an addiction that has been in his life for years was broken instantly. No urge, no thought till today. I didn't get to see the person. Are you seeing that? That's somebody far away. I can't tell you testimonies we get from other nations, from Uganda, from the United Kingdom, from the United States. I can't tell you or get to read the emails that I get every week of what God is doing here. I'm telling you the truth. So I want us to, I think we that are here, especially those of us that are on site, I think we are most privileged to be part of this. It may not be a move to us, but it's a move to many nations. Alright? At time will fail me to share another very interesting and remarkable. There are lots of them. Maybe we'll look for another day to do that. And you know the interesting thing? Those 2 days of Glory Summit, I didn't fast. I ate breakfast and lunch. But somebody listened to you and went into. So it's more than the act, it's the spirit. The letter kill it, but the spirit. Amen. So are you ready now? That same power is about to be released to you. There's no way you come here and anything that is a yoke remains a yoke in your life. It's only one of two things. It's either it breaks in this service or it begins to break from this service. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But more interestingly, today is a day where I believe that anointings will be distributed, graces will be released, and special mantles will fall on people. It doesn't have to be a miracle service. Are you ready? Many of you will receive the mantle for your ordination. The mantle for your destiny. You believe that? Maybe that fasting spirit will enter somebody after this service. Amen. And mind you, that's not the first time we are getting that message. We've gotten, and most of the time we get it from people outside. Amen. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirst of my soul. Yes, Lord. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it, Lord. And make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord. Lift it up, Lord. Come and quench, yes, Lord, the thirst of my soul. You to carry a hungry posture tonight from now till when we stand up to pray, because we're going to pray some definite prayers before I begin to minister. I want you to be hungry. I want you to be hungry. All through this series, I've shared some of the experiences from my life, my past years, and you can sense one thing. I believe that if there's anything I've done to bring me to this point where I am in my walk with God, not necessarily my prayers. There are people who have prayed more than me and are still praying. One thing I can be sure of to say, this is what I did that made God find interest in me. I was always hungry. Always be hungry for the move of God. Never be satisfied with yesterday. That's why I sang that song. Fill my cup. The cup of your destiny. How many of you are ready to receive a new anointing in this service? Bread of heaven, would you fill me till I want no more? Here's my cup, fill it, Lord, and make me whole. Joel chapter 2 verse 28. Let's start from there. Manda kalabakatos kotolo mohosi kiti lamahai. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will what? Pour. Somebody shout pour. Ah, your shouting doesn't have life. Shout pour. Pour out my spirit. You see, we are living in a time where there is no restriction for the flow. God is ready to pour. For anybody that is ready to receive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? These are not the days where God has to choose a king or a prophet or a priest. No. He says in the last days I will do what? Pour out. I will lavish it. Samson was a mighty man, but he had only a measure of the Spirit of God. Gideon was a mighty man, but he had a measure. Elijah had a measure. And name all the Old Testament saints. But in the kingdom, and in these last days, the Bible says, there is no restriction. I will pour out. That means this is a season to receive the fullness of God. It's not about your family background or where you come from, no. There is no natural criteria that God uses, no. He says, I will pour out my spirit. Let's continue. Upon all flesh. Then he says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And then he says, your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. Next verse. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. I wish I had time to explain this, but if I do, it will distract the teaching. It will take us into another thing. Because yes, literally, in the last days we will have eclipse and all of this. This is a natural phenomenon, natural sign, but in reality, it was not talking about the sun and the moon. It was talking about something else. But if I explain it, we'll be diverted. So let's continue. And the moon into blood. Before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. I hope you know that this is Mount Zion. Hebrews 11:24 says, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn. And now it says, in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be what? Deliverance. As the Lord has said, among the remnant, that's who we are, whom the Lord has called. So we are living in the season and the dispensation of the outpouring of the Spirit. Hosea chapter 6 verse 1 to 3. Hosea chapter 6 verse 1 to 3. Make sure you are not too relaxed when you are seated, because we are going to pray some dangerous prayers here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Destiny determining prayers. He says, come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. And after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day. Now, the 2 days there is not talking about 2 days like Sunday and Monday. Monday and Tuesday, no. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 says that before God, a day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a... So, according to God's mathematics, 1 day is how many years? 1,000 years. Back to Hosea. It says after 2 days. So, if 1 day before God is 1,000 years... And the Bible says after 2 days he will revive us. The 2 days is how many years? Talk to me now if you are ready tonight. The 2 days is how many years? And on the third day he will what? So after 2,000 years. So from the year 2000. This scripture began to find expression. To say prophetically that after that millennium was when this season of revival and the outpouring started. Remember, we are talking about the end time move. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, we are living in the third day, the third 1,000 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, right? That we believe in his sight. That's why if you check, after year 2000, there's been many changes in the world. Not only spiritually, even in technology. What we have seen, the innovation, the development in this first 25 years of this new millennium surpasses everything that has been done in the last 2000 years. So do you understand what I'm saying? So prophetically, that scripture is talking about our time. After 2 days, He will revive us. We are in the season of the last day revival. If you understand what I've just said, say amen. Amen. Acts chapter 1. Oh, let's continue the Hosea. We've not finished though. Verse 3 now. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Somebody say pursue. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. Now, Acts chapter 3 verse 19 to 21. So you see, in the outpouring of the Spirit, the Bible says it's going to be to us in our time like rain. You know, there are 3 to 4 manifestations of the Spirit in scripture as used or connoted by water. Water symbolizes many times the Spirit in scripture. If you read Ezekiel chapter 47, you remember the river that flowed from the temple? And in John chapter 7 verse 37 to 39, Jesus said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he that believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the Bible says this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, which will be given to those who will be justified. So the water symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Now, since water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, there are 4 expressions of the move of the Spirit in scripture using water. The first one is as well. This one is not part of the teaching, but it's an addition for being here. The first one is well. John chapter 4 from verse 13 to 14. When Jesus was talking with the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus told the Samaritan woman, he was talking to her about salvation. He said that anyone that drinks from this well that I'm asking you to give me water from shall thirst again. But he that drinketh from the water that I will give him, he said he shall never thirst again. And out of him will spring forth a well unto eternal life. That is salvation. When you are saved, you receive eternal life. That's the first dimension of the move of the Spirit. The well level, the well dimension, which is salvation. So, the first experience of the move of God that you should have, or the move of the Spirit that you should have, is the well experience, which is salvation, where the life of God and the Spirit of God comes to live in you. The next is river. Somebody say river. John chapter 7. Is it too deep for you? It shouldn't be. John chapter 7, where I quoted, Jesus talked about those who will receive the Spirit of God and said, out of their bellies will flow rivers of living water. This is the level of the baptism of the Spirit. This is the level where you are equipped for ministry. This is the level where you are equipped to do signs and wonders. A river flows. A well is stationed in one place. Is that true? A well can only serve the people of one compound. And then if it's during dry season, very soon you start locking the well because it will soon finish. Is that true? Good. But when it's a river, it flows. Is that true? A well can benefit one compound. A river can benefit a city. A river can benefit, in fact, a river can benefit cities. One river can flow beyond 2 or more states. So this dimension of the river, you can so walk in it and walk in power and in grace, and you think that is all that you can enjoy. But there is a third level. It's called the rain. You see that in Hosea and in Joel chapter 2. It says, he shall come to us as the rain when we pursue the knowledge of God. You know, at the river level, you have the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God will help you to know God. That's why he's the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. He's the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. He helps you to begin to know the dimensions of God. And when you mature from that level, you can enter the level of the rain. That one is not just accustomed to one person. That one is the seasonal move of the Spirit of God over the earth at a prophetic time, a prophetic season. You know, rain doesn't fall all through the year. There are seasons when rain falls. But when rain falls, everybody experienced or is a part or is submerged by that rain. So having the experience of the well and the river is not enough. There are seasons when God moves by his spirit. And it's people that have matured in their knowledge of God, not just operating gifts, matured in their knowledge of God, that can discern that season of revival and cash into it, because that season doesn't happen all the time. For instance, the Bible where we just read in Hosea said, after 2 days he will revive us. And on the third day, and prophetically speaking, we are living in that third day. So this is a season of revival. That's why any Christian that is wise in this season will take their walk with God serious. Because this is a season where God is releasing the rain. Is that true? When rain falls, it falls on everybody. Rain promotes agriculture. Rainwater can be stored in dams and can be deployed for the use of electricity or the manufacturing of electricity. There's a lot that rain can do. You have to go to the location of the river to fetch. But when rain comes, it meets you where you are. In fact, the clouds move, isn't it? So in the season of the rain, you don't need to hustle. It's not by who is closer to the anointed, no. It's a season where God is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. Stay where you are and the rain will meet you. You just need to discern that the season has come. We feel the rain of your love. We feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. We feel the rain of your love. We feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. Let it rain. Let it sing it. Say, open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Sing it one more time. Seated. We are in the season of the rain. Huh? Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1 says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. You need to discern that season when God is moving by his spirit upon his people, positioning them for mighty things that he will do. That's not a season to just give yourself to pleasure and relax. That's the season to position yourself and move with the Spirit. You know, the Bible says that God walks upon the winds of the wings of the wind. Why am I going this direction? Some people will understand. That's Psalms 104 verse 3. Sorry, verse 4. Verse 3. Walks upon the wings of the wind and makes the cloud his chariot. Maybe I'll talk about that in prophetic school next year. The wings of the wind. The wings of the wind. And John chapter 3 and verse 8 says that the wind blows where it listeth. You can't tell where it's coming from and where it's going to. So is everyone that is led by the... So the wind there is an alliteration or a figurative expression for the spirit. The wind moves. And that's how the eagle flies. The eagle doesn't fly, it soars. It goes on a high mountain and studies the current of the wind. Studies the direction of it. It may take him 1 hour to do that. 2 hours to do that. But once he senses the direction of the wind, he jumps into the air, opens his wings, 7,000 feathers on each side. Yet, it is light enough for the wind to carry it. Other birds will want to even fly against the direction of the wind. Have you seen those birds? You see them flying like this and the wind is moving them. You don't stand, you know, the problem with those birds is they come at the same level with the wind. No. The eagle watches the direction and the level of the wind. Then it goes above and allow the wind to carry it. If you must be a last day Christian and be part of the move of God, you must be like the eagle. You must learn to wait on the Lord and study the move of His Spirit. There are seasons of retreat. It's not every time you come out to show. No. There are seasons where you go back, stay in, and begin to pray in the Spirit and begin to study what God is doing and get yourself ready for another move. And when you find that move, you jump out in the midst of that move and you see God wrought signs and wonders through your life. We are in a season of the last day revival. Acts chapter 3 verse 19 to 21. Acts chapter 3 verse 19 to 21. It says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing, somebody say times of refreshing, may come from where? The presence of the Lord. You know what it means? It's the outpouring of the Spirit. Where did the Holy Spirit come from? From where? From heaven, isn't it? So when it says times of refreshing, it's talking about the season of Pentecost when the Spirit of God left heaven and landed on those 120. Let's continue. We've not finished the reading. That he may send Jesus Christ who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. Now look at this. When Jesus ascended to heaven, before he left, he promised his disciples. He said, behold, I sent to you the promise of the Father, but tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That's Luke 24:49. Don't go there. And so they tarried. And on that day, the Holy Spirit came because Jesus was now in heaven. So the Holy Spirit came in the day of Pentecost. And now in Acts of Apostles, the Bible says Peter was speaking shortly after that outpouring. And he told them, he said that Jesus must be received to heaven and he will remain there. While he's there, the Holy Ghost is on earth until the times of restoration of all things. So part of the assignment of the Holy Ghost on earth while Jesus is still in heaven awaiting his second return is to restore God's divine program on the earth. The restoration we are talking about here is more than the restoration of the money you lost, even though it's part of it. It's more than the restoration of the crypto you lost or the forex you lost, even though it's part of it. When we talk about restoration here, keep that scripture please. It's not just about restoring material things alone, no. It's about restoring the systems of the earth. Restoring God's programming, God's agenda that has been delayed, that has been forestalled. Mature people understand what I'm saying. Until the restoration, meaning putting people and everything in place, getting ready for the last day revival. The last day revival is simply what this scripture refers to as the times of restoration of all things. One of the things is restoring our time is truth. It's bringing understanding to the church so that we can know the truth. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now we know that we know the way of salvation. We know the way of holiness and righteousness. But we are in the season of the truth. He is restoring truth. Truth about the anointing. Truth about the Holy Spirit. Truth about prosperity. Truth about, that's why we have different revelations flying here and there. When we finish the restoration of the truth, the Bible says, till we all come to the unity of faith, and to the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. When every truth has been preached, revealed, and restored, the next phase will be the manifestation of the life. You will now see men walk just like Jesus did 2,000 years ago. In power and in glory. You know, John the Baptist, the Bible says he will come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Unfortunately, we only saw the spirit at work in John the Baptist. The power dimension we didn't see. Because he didn't perform miracles. We didn't see him do those things like Elijah did. And that's why God doesn't want to make mistake with us. Our own breed. Remember, God said that John the Baptist, there is no one greater than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom is greater than him. John the Baptist was a trial version for our breed. Our breed is those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So we will not just manifest the spirit, we will manifest the power. Paul said, I didn't come to you with the excellency of words or man's wisdom. He said, but my speech and my preaching was not in words, but in the demonstration of spirit and power. So your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the word power. We are living in a day where it is about results. Yes, you are talking about Jesus. Can we see proof of this man that you are talking about that lived in Galilee 2000 and plus years ago? Show us that he's alive, that he has resurrected. The Bible said in Acts chapter 1 that he showed himself alive to the apostles by many infallible proofs. If we must preach to the world and make them believe that the Jesus that we serve is alive, we must manifest what he did then. That's why I said I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So after the restoration of the truth, we are about to step into that season where men will walk like gods on the earth. It's not going to be a season of emojis. Those of you who plan to become a man of God like me and have people follow you and all of that, maybe during your time, everybody would have caught the revelation. Everybody would have been great and been a man of God. You understand what I'm saying? There are many people who want to walk in the power of God just for ministry's sake. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that that motive is too inferior for God to invest his grace on you. He says, I am the life. Men that will walk like Jesus on the earth. Let me tell you a story of one of Jesus' disciples. And you'll not believe the person I'm about to talk about. Thomas. Doubting Thomas. They told Thomas, we have seen the Lord. Oh. Thomas said, nah, lie. If I don't put my hand in the nail prints in his hand and touch the place where they spear him. So he knew that they spear Jesus. Because when Jesus was on the cross, only women were there. The only man that was there was John the Baptist. All the men took off. And Jesus appeared to them 8 days later. And he told Thomas, he said, I can't touch. See, I'm alive. Thomas said, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. As doubting as he was, historically it is said that Thomas went to preach in some parts of India. And there was a village he got to that they served a water god in that village. And they told him that they can't allow him to preach. As a matter of fact, they will banish him out of this place. Except he does something that their god cannot do. So he told them to take him to the river, the stream in the village where they served their god. When they went there, Thomas fetched the water, poured it on the air, and the thing suspended on the air. Turned and looked at them. The whole village gave their life to Christ. Doubting Thomas. I wish this series will continue. I would have brought stories of the disciples of Jesus and God's generals. You will hear strange miracles. Let's even come very close. A man like William Marion Branham. One of the foremost prophets that we had in the last century. So mighty that people called him Elijah during his time. William Branham walked in strange miracles. In fact, William Branham was the one who started calling of names and phone numbers and all those things. He will call your name, your full name, your phone number, your address, your postal address, your postal number. Some journalists came to his meeting. They wanted to get a story that they will use against him. So they agreed that one of them will pretend to have cancer. So the others brought that one to William Branham, that he has cancer. When he got on stage, William Branham looked at him and said, no, you don't have cancer. You people connived. You were in so-and-so place on so-and-so day when you connived. And actually, because you want to tempt God, you will have cancer. You will die in 7 days. And the guy died 7 days later. William Branham. William Branham loved hunting. He was a hunter. He was a great man in USO. In fact, it was under him that T.L. Osborne received an impartation that opened up his ministry. And I hope you know T.L. Osborne is one of the people that influenced God's servant, Archbishop Benson Idahosa. T.L. Osborne went to India to preach the gospel. He failed. Came back frustrated to America. Then somebody told him about William Branham. He went and sat in William Branham's meeting. Just one sitting. He didn't even meet the man. Just one sitting. And he said his eyes opened and he saw the face of Jesus on that man. That was the anointing that came on his life. And T.L. Osborne became a wonder to the whole world. Preached in more than 80 nations. T.L. Osborne, one time, I will come back to William Branham. I'm just telling you what somebody who received from him, what he received, what he became. He was preaching in one African country. Crowd everywhere surrounded the stage. I mean, the crowd, you are talking of thousands. And some people brought somebody who had been dead for days. I heard this story from Prophet Kobus. They found a way to get on an elevated surface and they threw the guy. As soon as the guy, he was dead, some part of his body was already decaying. When he hit the stage and fell down, he stood up alive. T.L. Osborne. He's one of the people that influenced Archbishop Benson Idahosa. Archbishop Benson Idahosa used to invite him to come and preach. In fact, he was the one that Archbishop Benson Idahosa was taking, escorting back to America when he stopped a plane and entered and said, I need 2 seats. And you know the remaining story of the man that came down. We're talking about the last day revival. Back to William Branham. He loved to hunt. He was a hunter. And one day he went to the bush and he couldn't find anything to hunt. What will I give to my wife? Then he stood there in the middle of the bush and shouted, squirrel, appear now! And a live squirrel appeared there. He shot it and carried it to his wife. I'm talking about the last day revival. I'm saying these things to provoke you. And he was a very humble man. Very humble man. Yes, he got into some errors here and there. But that guy walked in a glory that I'm praying to return in this generation. The last day he had on earth was in December. This guy was so prophetic. He knew he was not going to finish that trip. He was traveling from one state in US to another state. So we, as a wise man and a spiritual man, he put himself and his wife was in one car. His son and other family members drove in the other car. As if he knew that day was his last. Had an accident. When they came, the car was destroyed beyond repair. His wife died instantly. William Branham was bleeding and gasping for air. In his near-death state, he spoke to his son. He said, where is your mother? His son told him, he said, put my hand on her. They put a man that is about to die, they put his hand on the woman. He said, Lord, let her live. The woman woke up. A man that is about to die. Talk about the bones of Elisha. Many of you know the story of a man called Reverend Kenneth Hagin. I read that he died, but his heart was still beating, but he was dead. I don't know. He was dead, but his heart was still beating. Days later was when his heart stopped beating, but he was dead already. The Bible speaks of men who have tasted of the power of the age to come. I'm telling you, while you are there eating gari and egusi soup, there are people who have known God to a point where their knowledge of God is no longer mental. It has translated into reality. And I'm telling you so that it can provoke a hunger in you to pursue God. Times of refreshing. Times of restoration. That's where we are living in. I want you to pray one prayer as you're seated. And say, Lord, I desire to see your move in my day and time again. Please talk to him passionately from your heart. If all of these things that I've shared is true, Lord, let me see it again, 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 in my lifetime. I don't just want to hear it. In my lifetime. Let me lay hold of the power and the glory of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's continue. The end time move is the outpouring of the Spirit in the last days. I've said that. You see that in Joel chapter 2 verse 28 and Ezekiel 47. Number two, the end time move, which is the last day revival, is the summation of every other revival in church history. The end time move, in bracket, last day revival, is the summation of every other revival. Is the summation, double M, is the summation of every other revival in church history. Maybe in Utah Flame I will share more of these stories. The summation of every other revival that we have seen from the time of the apostles, from even the time of Elijah to now, what we will experience will be a combination of all that those men experienced. I think we are fortunate by God to be in this generation. And we read that in Joel chapter 2 verse 23. The Bible says that he has caused, he has given you the rain, the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down to you. And he explains what the rain is. The rain is the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The former means the move of God in the past, the move of the Spirit in the past. The latter rain is the move of God for us now. God is going to combine the two of them and release it upon this generation. If you are excited to be in this generation and to be alive, shout a louder amen. I'm telling you, we will see. That's why the Bible says in the last days, you will see wonders and signs, even in the heavens above and on the earth. We have not seen anything, no. Forget about what's happening in Nigeria now. No. A time will come where there will be a change. Recently, I saw that Nigeria, the past Nigerian passport is now number 88 or so in the world, right? Don't worry. A time will come where it will become number one. And you'll be alive to see it. Your entrance into a country will be like you are doing them a favor. Do you think it's because of natural resources or anything that we'll boast of? No. There are nations that have bigger economy. Can we stand the economy of America or Japan or the United Arab Emirates? Can we stand the technology of China, of Germany? Our own will not be technology or economy or anything. Our own will be the spirit that we export. Mandala kapasiata. Men that will cast out demons from territories. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They have machines, they have technology, they have economy, no problem. And we may seem to have bad leadership, but in the midst of that finance, in the midst of this suffering, God is raising. I mean, look at Nigerians in every part of the world. God is raising an army from this nation. Many of you will be preachers by that time. Yes. Where you will not do interview for visa, they will just, in fact, they will stamp it at arrival. Enter. Because God would have exalted what he is doing in this nation. That's why you must keep believing in this nation and keep praying. I'm telling you. So the end time move is the summation of every other revival in church history. Let's do some writing now. The end time move of the Spirit will be concerned with achieving the following. This end time move of the Spirit will be concerned with achieving the following. Number one, the massive salvation of the souls of men. The massive salvation of the souls of men at a global scale. The massive salvation of the souls of men at a global scale. That's one of the things that will be achieved by the end time move of the Spirit. The massive salvation of the souls of men at a global scale. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. Says that God is not slack in his promises towards us, but is long suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4 to 5 says that God is not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge, right? He desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. one of the things God is interested in by pouring out His Spirit and by ushering us into this massive revival where we will enjoy the resources of heaven like never before. It's not just to waste it. No. Number one is for the massive salvation of souls. Do you know that we have more than 8 billion people in the world? I think it's getting close to 8.5 billion now, according to statistics. Can I tell you something? Out of 8.5 plus billion people, we don't have up to 3 billion people that are Christians. 3 over 8. Is that a good mark? That's not even let my people go. So we are not even up to 3 billion. Forget about all these, our camps. Good. We have campsites, we have big auditoriums, but even with that, we are not up to 3 billion Christians. I'm not saying Catholics or Protestants. I mean all of us Christians, who, even plus the ones where we suspect. You understand? All Catholics, Pentecostals, Protestants, Church of the Latter-day Saints, White Garment, all of us that mention Jesus, we are not up to 3 billion. Out of 8.5 plus billion people. Is that not a fail mark? So you see that in the end times, salvation of souls is one of, in fact, is the heartbeat of God. And any time a man plugs their life into fulfilling this task, you have put yourself in the center of the will of God. That's why this pneumatic must keep holding. If I tell you that from January till now, we have more than 100 souls that have been saved in only pneumatic alone, you will not believe. More than 100. That was the statistics. 100 and something. That was when we entered June, right? I don't even know how many we are now. When we went to Bill for the crusade, just 2 days, we had 106 souls in 2 nights of meeting. I'm not saying morning and evening. I'm saying just evening. You think God will play with us? You think one herbalist will conjure something in his room and the arrow will come and hit us? Not lie. The massive salvation of souls in our universities, in our polytechnics, in our colleges of education, in our churches, there are people that don't know Jesus. I'm telling you, there are people who go to church. The reason for why they go to church is to wear fine clothes and after service, snap near the garden. Some, their church have fine toilet. They go and snap there. I'm telling you, if you know why people go to church, you will weep. You think everybody is going to church because they are interested in Jesus? Some go because of Bedu. That's why they don't miss praise and worship session. The one they did in the club on Friday, he never finished. So they need to return, do another overflow and away match on Sunday. And they are in our church. There are people who like sewing new clothes. They just like it. They have a tailor that is making money on their head in the name of Jesus. And those new clothes, the only time they can show it well is when? Sunday. That's why they go to church. You preach, they are the ones sleeping or chewing gum. God is not willing that all should perish, but that all will come to repentance. We need to see souls saved. I'm telling you, we need to see souls saved. In our educational institutions, in the marketplace, in the corporate organizations, many of you are working in places where 95% of the people, they are Muslims. It's only you and one or two other person. Now they sack one, remaining two. God has just brought you to a mission field. Many of you are in rooms, your roommate, you are the only two of you are Christians in the room out of six. Many of you in your class, you are the only Christian. Are you seeing the opportunity? If I tell you how many Muslims, the population of Muslims, and they calculated the percentage, the rate by which Islam is growing, I'm telling you, if I give you those statistics, it is like 3 times faster than Christianity growth. In Europe now, there are many churches that were built 100 years ago, 200 years ago. Those churches are no longer occupied by churches. Some of them have been turned to nightclubs. Some of them have been bought by the government. Churches shut down. How about places like China, Mongolia, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan? You don't even know those places. There are souls that need to be saved there. Massive salvation. Massive salvation. That's the number one reason for the outpouring. Massive salvation of souls. On our streets, there are young people wasting away. We're coming and I saw somebody close to one checkpoint when we're coming. I saw somebody drinking something. What he was doing, it looked like a syrup. You know what I mean? I think he saw the way I was looking at him. He just closed it quick. I said, that's a soul that should be saved. If not that I was coming, I would have come down from that place and I'm going to meet him. Do you know how many people die in him every minute? Hundreds of thousands of people. Do you know the statistics of how many of those people that die are not saved? Something should bother you about seeing souls saved. Forget about your shyness. But God wants the massive salvation of souls in the end time at a global scale. So thank God for the ability to put up crusades. Thank God for social media evangelism. Thank God for one-on-one evangelism. Thank God for television and satellite evangelism. But everything that we must do to ensure that souls are saved. In fact, Jesus said, but this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world, in all nations. Because souls must be saved. Some of you have children who are not born again. You think they are born again because you are a Christian. So your children, Christianity is not inheritance, but it's not biological inheritance. No matter how innocent your children are, they are not born again. Even if they are shouting amen, hallelujah, they are not born again. When they get to 5, 6 and above, preach to them about Jesus and let them make a commitment for Jesus. Otherwise, Satan will come and raise. It will not be so for you in Jesus' name. Number two, the end time move of the Spirit will be consigned with achieving the following. Number two, the purposeful and intentional discipleship of believers into maturity. The purposeful and intentional discipleship of believers into maturity. The purposeful and intentional discipleship of believers into maturity. Unto maturity. That's one of the things that the end time move will be concerned about. The discipleship of believers, like what is happening here. Ephesians 4, 12 to 13. And he gave some to be apostles. Verse 11 rather. He gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints. For the work of ministry. Listen, being saved alone is just the beginning. You must be saved and transformed. You must be how are you transformed? You must be exposed to an atmosphere where the word of God is taught with revelation and with wisdom. So that you can grow intentionally and constructively. That's the problem we have in church. There are many believers whose walk with God is zigzag. In fact, when you talk about growth, many of them are not interested. Because before now, they've not even been told that there's something about growing as a believer. There are many believers who still just want to, they are just waiting for Jesus to come. After salvation, let me just escape into heaven. But maturity, growth, no, I don't care about that. But how can you know God except you are taught? Except you are mentored, you are discipled. And I thank God for churches that have discipleship platforms and formats. There is a methodic way of knowing God, though. Just doing it haphazardly on your own, it will cost you a lot. You will have to learn by many experiences. Sometimes you may even dabble into error. The Bible says that your eyes will see your teachers and your ears shall hear a voice behind you that will say, this is the way. You must be taught. You must know God. You must know how to relate with God. You must understand what prayer is and the dynamics of prayer. You must understand what faith is. You must understand the foundations of our faith. There are some things that are necessary doctrines. As a believer, you must know it. And you know one thing with the word of God? God's servant, Papa Selman, told me something. He said, Jonathan, there's one good thing about the Bible. Anybody can profit from it. Educated, semi-educated, illiterate. This one is not physics textbook in the university where some people don't know. No. Even an illiterate here, by the teaching of the word, they can grow. In fact, do you know that the word of God, if you teach an illiterate the word of God, over time, it will even add to their literacy. There are many people, many of our ancestors in the faith, many of them didn't go to school. They didn't go to a secular, they didn't have secular education. Men like Smith Wigglesworth. It was reading the Bible that built their literacy. So you are seeing both spiritual and mental benefit at the same time. Programs like this must be set up and sit people down and teach them. Thank God for miracle service, but oh my God. If you know the desire I have, in fact, if I wish we have, oh my God, we are coming there. I wish we had our own facility. Sunday is not enough to grow you. No. When God wants you to start manifesting next year and the curriculum needed for your growth will take 5 years. If we are doing only Sunday, do you think you will meet up? Even after resurrection, Jesus didn't just run to heaven. He appeared to his disciples and he taught them for 40 days. In fact, Jesus taught more. 40 days. And he told, even after 40 days of lecture, in addition to 3.5 years of teaching, he said, when I never know everything, though, still go wait. The Holy Ghost will come and I go no more. Talk about Paul the apostle. Every church he planted, he would teach them. He would remain there for 1 year, 2 years, teaching them. Because knowing God must be constructive. We have many casualties among believers because they don't know God. A believer that doesn't know God will manifest when he should hide. And then he will receive attacks that are not meant for him. I remember when we started this ministry, God told me for the first 7 years, he said, don't print any banner or any signboard or anything. I said, God, how would they know us? We'll just be in one small spot. He said, no. Which one do you want? Do you want a banner and a signboard? Or do you want me to imprint your image in the hearts of the people? I said, the second one, I like it. Is knowing God that help discipleship unto maturity that will make you know when to manifest. Just because the blessing has come doesn't mean you are matured enough. There is a level of stature you rise to that God knows that principalities and powers cannot stand the wisdom of God at work in your life. Then he can say manifest. But you see a lot of believers who are yet immature and want to manifest. And they become casualties. Is when you are discipled, you will know these things. Number 3. The end time move of the Spirit will be consigned with achieving number 3. The mentoring of leaders. The mentoring of leaders that will serve as kingdom agents. Number 3. The mentoring of leaders that will serve as kingdom agents. For positive change, growth, and development of societies and nations. Let me read it again. The mentoring of leaders that will serve as kingdom agents for positive change, growth, and development of societies and nations. That's a bogus statement. This is one of the reasons for the end time move. To achieve the mentoring of leaders in the church. And these leaders will now be deployed into society as kingdom agents for change, positive change. You know, one of the problems I have with some of our young people in Nigeria, all of these our entertainers that are influencers on social media. I wish they will understand that influence is leadership. You have 1 million followers on Instagram. You are leading 1 million people already. But you know what they do with it? Borrow necklace, borrow chain, borrow wristwatch, and go and sample it and put people under pressure. Some of you even watch their Instagram live, and I don't know what they are preaching there. I don't know what they are saying there. There are some influencers that you know that these ones, Kai. The foolishness of God is wiser than the foolishness of a man. You understand what I'm saying? The problem in our society is that society is now being mentored by leaders that were not raised from the church. So for them, influence is a tool to market themselves. But we, leaders that are raised in the kingdom, we know that influence, leadership is about influence. Influencing people strategically. So God deploys you into society and you use the fame he gives you in your various field to influence for positive change, for growth and for development. That's how systems can be saved. If the governor of a state has been thoroughly mentored, taught leadership in the house of God, and grown to exhibit those biblical traits of leadership, when it comes to govern a state, you will see the signs, you will see the change. But when an armed robber becomes a governor, you see 20 billion naira in cash in the house. You know, when you see people stealing what they don't need, it's a sign of lack of mentorship. We have many politicians, but we have few leaders. What we need now are leaders, not politicians, leaders. And it takes the church to mentor them. From just being chief usher, do you know that that can be the training to being the governor of a state? From being prayer band leader, that can be the training to being a senator. How does being a prayer band leader and senator, don't worry, by the time you enter that red chambers and you see say everybody carry juju, you will now know why they used to punish you in prayer band those days. Pray in tongues for 3 hours, marathon prayers. You know, when God is training you, most of the things he will bring into your life, you will feel God is suffering you. God has seen your future. He knows the kind of warfare you will face ahead. So the training of now will be needed then. Guess who met Jesus in the wilderness? Satan. You know why? Because when he started his ministry, he met demons in every territory. So when he could deal with Satan, it was easy to drive them out. Don't take for granted your training in the house of God. You are washing you are mopping the ground, you are sweeping the church. It's a leadership training to instill humility in you. Yes, sir. Because when you give power and influence to a man who does not have humility in his heart, I'm telling you the truth, you will come back and not find anybody there. How did God raise David as a king of Israel? He took him from the sheepfold. So one of the reasons for the last day move of the Spirit is to ensure that we achieve the mentoring of leaders. Society is in dire need of leaders, agents of change. Today, we thank God for men like Martin Luther King Jr. Because he was trained. He was a leader raised from the church, deployed into society. And America till today is a nation that believes in equality. Why? Because one man stood and died for a cause. I wanted to call the name of another one and ask a question, but I won't call the name because some of you is your celebrity. Not call the name. So the mentoring of leaders that will serve as kingdom agents for positive change, growth and development in societies and nations. What we call nation building, national development. It starts when leaders have been properly mentored and raised. I pray that the church in Nigeria will mentor and raise one good president for this country. I'm not saying that we've had bad presidents, no. I'm not going to say good or bad to the previous ones. But I'm saying this time, let it be one raised by the church. Do you agree with me? One raised to govern your state. One raised to your local government. We need leaders. Number four, the restoration of the image and lordship of Christ over every strata of human endeavor. The restoration of the image and lordship of Christ. The restoration of the image and lordship of Christ over every strata of human endeavor. Over every strata of human endeavor. The word strata means levels, cadres. Society has different levels, different fields. The restoration of the image and lordship of Christ in every of these places. This is one of the things that the last day move of the Spirit will achieve. The image of Jesus is lost, or is getting lost in our world today. Let me ask you a question. Gen Z that you see, those who are less than 20 years, find out who they want to pattern their life after. Find out the people they follow on social media, including your own. Start from your own, your younger brother. You know why everything is becoming worldly by the day? It's because the image of Jesus is fast phasing out of society. They are forgetting him and what he did. So we need that to be restored again. We need Jesus to be respected and honored again. Now I heard that they removed CRK. From CRK they made it CRS. That's how they started compromising it too. Now waiting day again. Nothing day again. What they call it now? RMB, what is that? Religious what? Even you where they talk and don't say we are in trouble. Look at them. These children now, they will not... You did CRK in school. That's how many of you knew some of the things of the Bible. What will happen? What's the fate of our children? And now you spend more for school fees. Now. Somebody told me a school of the daughter that is not even up to 10 years. They are paying 150 up to 200,000. I say we are in trouble, though. I say now so school fees cost. The restoration of the image and the lordship of Christ again. They must respect Jesus again. They must honor Jesus again. Jesus is not just one man in history. No. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, there is Muhammad. Yes, there is Buddha. Yes, there is Michael Jackson. There is this one. But there is a man called Jesus that came on earth and died. Whether they like it or not, the most popular and the most influential man in all of human history. The Bible remains the most, the highest sold book in the whole world. The most popular book in the whole world. We must restore that image again. What's that song we used to sing those days? Jesus must be honored, must be honored, must be honored. Jesus must be honored in our lives every day. One more time, say, Jesus must be honored, must be honored, must be honored. Jesus must be honored in our life. Let me tell you how ministry started for me. When I was in primary one, primary two, nursery two, they used to put me to stand and lead assembly to pray. I remember Grace of God International in Alakija, Lagos. As short as I was, sometimes they would put a stool and I would climb on it for everybody to see me. That's when I started ministry. I remember when my primary two, is it primary two or primary one teacher during break, called me into the class. Everybody was out, told me to pray for her. She had a headache. I'll never forget. But now, try and drag a phone from a child, you are in trouble. And what's on the phone? Cartoons that we don't know the people producing the cartoons. What they call it? Coco melon. May your child not be a coco or a melon. Let me tell you the truth. Raising children nowadays must be more intentional. Many of us are busy looking for money. When you finish looking for the money, you come back and meet little devils in the house. Yes, it's good to look for money, but train your children. Every system in society is collapsing. The home, family is collapsing. Education is collapsing. Government and politics. The image of Christ must be restored again. Number 5. Oh, Micah chapter 4 verse 1 to 2. That's number 4. Micah chapter 4 verse 1 to 2. That it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. Mountains there speaks of influence. It means that the influence of the house of God is going to be more than the influence of society. And all nations shall flow to it. We must restore back the dignity and the respect and the influence of the church. That's one of the reasons why God is pouring out His Spirit in the last days. You can read verse 2 when you go home. Number 5. For the subduing of the kingdom of darkness. I like this one. For the subduing of the kingdom of darkness. And snatching away of territories. For the subduing of the kingdom of darkness. And snatching away of territories. Under demonic siege. For the subduing of the kingdom of darkness. And snatching away territories under demonic siege. Territories that are under demonic siege. Held under the grip of Satan. The reason for the outpouring is to dismantle the gates of hell. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The church is supposed to be a formidable force, empowered by the Holy Ghost to bring down the arsenals of darkness. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus told them, if I cast out demons, then know that the Spirit of God has come. Know that the kingdom of God has come. I wish I had time to talk about this one. Do you know the revival in witchcraft? Out of every 10 families, 2 have witches inside. In fact, that statistic does not go well for some of you, your village. Some of you, 8 out of every 10 families, there are witches there. And the ones that are not witches, they are already going to Malams. Going to Baba. Some of those your cousins that you see your life upside down. Go and ask, wait, what did the father do with them? Father has gone to bow down to one shrine in Marama and sacrifice all his children. So you see him, he has money. He wears his kaftan with cap, but all of his children, this one cannot get married. This one is this one. This one, he dropped out of school. This one, like this. This one is a drunkard. He went to Marama and traded his children. Or he went to Garkida. Or Gombe. You know Gombe? Alamagada yala gada yala. I declare over somebody here that the power of God will rest on your life in this season. The power of God that will cause fear and terror in the camp of the enemy. Receive it in the name of Jesus. To dismantle the gates of hell. Satan is trading with the destinies of men. You see somebody at 40 years, a lady 44, no marriage. You see a young man struggling at 42, nothing to show for it. No, sir. No, an enemy has done this. go to a house, from the father to the mother to the five children, all of them are wearing glasses. Go to a family, grandfather died of diabetes, auntie, diabetes, your father, diabetes, your mother, no sir, no, it's not hereditary. Is the monetary. Why do you find corruption in our world today? Is it not the prince of this world? The prince of darkness. What's the use of the power of God if we cannot arrest demons, arrest spirit, go to territories and shut down the command tower of darkness? Enter a place, one of those places I just mentioned. Enter there for a 3 days crusade. And after every night, invoke rain to fall with thunder. Yes, so for 3 nights, after the crusade, rain will fall and thunder will destroy every shrine, one after the other. On the third day, all of them will come out and repent. Because if they don't repent, their children in UK will be there and they will shine shoe to make a living. They will stay in UK for 10 years and wash a dead body to make a living. You think there is distance in the realm of the spirit? Just because you fly, go China, you think you have run away from the radar of the demons? Na lie. Did they look you well? I know a young man fought all the forces in his house, couldn't do anything for himself. Somehow, God gave him a breakthrough. Traveled to Germany. Got a job. The day was to sit for the interview of the job. He sat down. No, he got a job and was doing fine. Enrolled for masters. The day was to write the master's exam. As he sat in front of the computer, you know, you see the questions and the thing just disappeared. All of a sudden, Baba's face appeared. Baba told him in his language of place is in the street. That's how the guy stood up, left the computer and became mad in Germany. And you say that the gates of hell should continue? No, sir. I prophesy again in the name of Jesus. I'm talking to the army that God is raising here. Receive the empowerment that makes you terrorize the camp of the enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, there are two central points of activity for this end time move. There are two central points. Meaning, it's going to happen on 2 points. In this last day revival, we are going to have mission fields and we are going to have training camps. What did I say? Mission fields and training camps. Training camps are churches, fellowships, prayer groups, Bible institutes, places where believers are gathered and grown and raised, institutions where God will build people. So you're coming to a university to study 4-year course. In the spirit is also a 4-year of dealing with the spirit of God. It's not just your course you are doing. You are doing your course and you are doing this course of the spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So as you go to class and study, in the night, go to the ground and pray. If there's no ground in your school, form a ground and start praying. Don't just graduate with paper. Graduate with empowerment. It's not paper that empowers people. The first class today, there are so much. And all of them are lining up in the labor market. Alright? Those are training fields. In churches. In ministries. Like this ministry now. Mission fields. These are corporate organizations. Marketplace. Government institutions. These are all mission fields. Where those who have been trained by God will be deployed. So that organization you are working, you are not just there to get a job. No, sir. That business you are doing, why God didn't give you a job and said go into business, is because the business world is your mission field. The goal is that very soon you start evangelizing to politicians. Even if they don't want to hear your Jesus, but because of so much money that you have, they will come and hear you. Especially now that elections are coming. They are looking for who to sponsor them. So because they are looking for money to sponsor them, they would rather sit down in your house and hear the boring salvation message, because you will still give them 1 billion to sponsor their campaign. You now see why God is training you as a businessman. That's your field. The outpouring is not just supposed to happen in the four walls of a church. No. It's to deploy people in society. God is sending apostles and prophets into the military. Some of them, I'm privileged by God to have them as sons, as mentees. Anointed guys, I'm telling you. Crazily anointed guys. Sharp in the prophetic. I'm wondering what... I asked one, I said, what are you doing in the military? Come and start church. And he's not even a chaplain in the military. He's SF, Special Forces. I know one of my mentees, I'm sure you may be watching now, by the grace of God. I've known him for some time. Very skilled in IT. In fact, he has a ministry. A barrister. Then God opened door and threw him into military. When they commissioned him, 1 month after commissioning, I called, they were talking. He said, he's wondering what he's still doing there. I said, as they wonder, they go. Vision fields. Some of you end up like that too. You are just here eyeing me thinking you'll be an apostle one day. Now lie. Your field is in NDA. That's where God is deploying you to. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Some of you are intelligent IT specialists. That's the field though. The digital space. That's the mission field for you now. That laptop and phone in your hand. That's your tool for evangelism. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Gone are the days where it's only pastors that will carry. No, sir, no. We need people in different places. That's why every church should ensure that they are strategic about the training of their members. It's not just Bible study. Even the Bible studies sometimes teach about finance. Next year, we are going to hold a tech, finance, and relationship conference in Yola. Next year, the plan is already on ground. Yes, sir. Strategic evangelism. And one of our brothers there is one of the, you know, top tech guys in Adamawa State. May you be part of the army God is raising. In the name of Jesus. Let's rush. What are the resources needed to activate, channel, and sustain this revival? These are the resources we need. Number one, we need yielded men. We need yielded men. Yielded men. Yielded men. I can shout from now till tomorrow, but if men refuse to yield, the harvest will still be plenty and the laborers will yet be few. There are men that God has been shouting to them in the last 5 years to start up a ministry, start up a church. They've ignored God. They are not yielded. They are busy making money in the organization. Making money as a forex trader. We need yielded men. The harvest is already rotting. God needs people that will go out. And so we need yielded men. Let me tell you something. To work for God, you have to be sacrificial. You will sacrifice yourself first before you can sacrifice anything. When we say sacrifice, you think it's just money. No. The Bible spoke in 2 Corinthians 8. Paul spoke about the church of Macedonia. He said, these guys, even in their poverty, they gave in abundance. And Paul said, you know why they could give like that? He said, they first gave themselves to God. We need men that will die to themselves and surrender to the will of God. We need young ladies with all their beauty that will surrender it to God and say, God, you use it. I know what I can use this beauty to get for myself, but use it to accomplish your will. We need parents that are yielded, that will convert their home to a seminary. God, these three children, they will be strategic evangelists that will raise. And they will deploy their time. One of our brothers who follows from the United States, from Boston, Massachusetts. I think I've showed you about, he's a Hispanic man. Has about three children or so. He probably is watching. He told me that just to ensure that their children are trained in the ways of the Lord, especially what's happening in America, he works during the week and then stays at home at weekend. His wife stays at home during the week and works at weekend. Not that he cannot do many more jobs, but the sacrifice to raise these ones for God. We need yielded men. Ask your neighbor, are you one of those yielded men? We need young people
You know, young people right now, they don't want anything about God. There are many young people who feel that this issue about God is like they will be robbed of their social life. They will be robbed of their flexing. Many young people feel that God will rob them of their youth. That's why they are not interested in God. So we need young people that will lay down their lives to be used by God. As early as 13 years, 15 years, we need young men that will consecrate their eyes not to watch pornography so that God can raise a prophet with those eyes. We need yielded men, sir. And we are full of them in church. With this big number, you think everybody's yielded. I'm sorry to hurt you, but no. We need yielded men that can look at their accounts as God's account. We need yielded men that can take their houses, their estates, their cars. Men that will even go into a business, not for the purpose of gain, but from this business, I will be buying fuel for church every week. We need men yielded like that. Look at the church in Acts of the Apostle. The Bible says that none lacked anything for those that had. One of them gave so much, the Bible called him a son of consolation. We need yielded men. We need yielded men. We have many musicians in church, but how many yielded musicians do we have? We need yielded men. I'm talking to somebody. Even if we close here tonight, I'm talking to somebody. God is looking for yielded men. Does it interest you that we have billions of men on the earth? Yet, Ezekiel 22 verse 30, God said, I sought for a man. See men everywhere. God said, I'm looking for a man. So what is happening with all these men, with their bia-bia and their punk? We need yielded men. We need yielded men. God wants to raise apostolic voices over territories, but it takes a yielded man. You know, there are mantles that will make your life sacrificial. And it's the truth. There are responsibilities God will give you that will alter even your kind of fun will become different. There are things you will not do, not because it's a sin to you, but you will not have the time. Or your consecration will not allow you to do it. Are you ready to pay the price and yield? We need yielded men, especially this young generation. Thank God Youth Aflame is in August. That's one question I will ask from the beginning to the end. God is looking for yielded men in their schools, on your campuses. Why is the campus like this? No revival. The whole place is dry. It's because there is lack of yielded men. Yielded men. Yielded men. Yielded men. It's not angels that cause revival. It's men. It's men. It's when men begin to pray foolishly. When men begin to pray foolishly. When men begin to pray by an act of their will. The time that they should use and chase girlfriend, when they convert it to praying 2 hours. 2 hours. You think revival just happens like that? No, sir. Every move of God you see in a generation enjoyed by many people, it took the sacrifice of one man. It took the sacrifice of few individuals. We need yielded men. We need yielded men. Number two, the resources needed, financial and material resources. Yes, sir. Financial and material resources are needed to champion this last day's revival. If not, the spirit will be poured out and remain in one place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We need resources for the kingdom. Please look up, everybody, my dear people. We need resources. It has not occurred to you. We need resources. And when I say we, I'm not saying that the church here. No, 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 no. We need the kingdom of God on earth. Need resources. We need money. Money. We need material things. Remember, I spoke about training fields and mission camps. Let's say, for instance, God tells you to open a seminary in your village. It will take getting a land with all the necessary approvals. It will take building on that land. Seminary, they will be feeding students that will travel from different places. Isn't it? They will pay the lecturers coming to teach them. What if God says open an orphanage? You open it just to start with 100, but because of the need, now your 100 people facility is containing 500. You know what it means to host an orphanage? You are feeding them, clothing them, schooling them. We need resources, sir. Not just this 1,000 we give as offering to 200. Thank God for that, but it has to go beyond that. Don't you ever think that that offering will be enough to do what God wants to do. No. In fact, don't give offering because they will use it. Just do that one as your worship to God. But begin to carry a mindset that say, come, God needs money. In fact, the truth is, how will I say God needs money? God needs men that are willing to surrender the money he has released. Youth Aflame is coming in August. I can't tell you how much will be spent. I can't tell you. For a ministry growing like this, a small ministry like this. Bless the Lord for last year. Was a wonderful time, isn't it? And K-Strings was around, isn't it? And we were all happy, isn't it? You think it's Urine that brought him? You think it was the wings of angels? He traveled on the wings of angels. In fact, that the week he came here, he was just returning from overseas. So imagine booking ticket. We need men, sir. God says, go and hold a conference in U.S. Hey, he's holding a conference in U.S. Invite Pastor Nathan Ebasi. Invite Dunsi. Do you know how many millions of dollars will go for that conference? And they will not take offering. We need money to build our own schools. We need money. Yes, it's not. We need money to build our own schools. And put CRK there. Al-Ansar University. Where is our own? Savannah State. I hope you people will build your own. You know, my problem with that Savannah State thing is, I'm not against it, but it's just that we are going to have a leadership problem. With all due respect, I love, I'm a citizen of this state now. When God called me to this state, I died to my, I'm a citizen of this. I love this. I love Southern Bruno. I've been prophesying about the move of God from that place since 2019. But let me tell you something. I don't think the Southerners are ready for a takeover. You give them that state. If we don't work on human capacity development and selfless leaders, they will use it to create their own cacos of corruption. Cut it and post it. Let them hear it. Before they start clamoring for that state, they should ask themselves if they are ready to provide governance for the people. Go to Southern Borno if you see any good road there. I hope I'm not lying, though. I was there last year now. We need resources. We need resources. So in your quiet corners, you are making money. Find God inside that money you are making. It's not just for your pot. Many of us, in fact, God wants to release the flow. But because you have limited the reason why you make money to just your family, that's why God is giving you just enough for your family. But if you can create a more superior reason for why you need wealth, the flow will come. Imagine pumping 1 billion into a project in the church. Not just a building project. A project of rehabilitation. Let's say God gives the vision of one of us here to start rehabilitating drug addicts. Have you gone to public rehabilitation centers before? Have you gone there before? You will not even wish your enemies to be there. Go to our police stations. Have you ever entered before? How many of them? Fine. Go to our correctional centers. Prison. They call it correctional center, but a prison. Go and see how people live there. And you think that you can rehabilitate a person in that place? What stops the church to rise and start building places inside prisons? In fact, we will go for our first prison outreach this year as a ministry. Thank you for clapping. But as you are clapping, I hope you know it's not Urine. It's going to be money. And as I've spoken now, somebody should not wait for them to say, please come and give for hospital. That day may never come. But as I don't talk now, somebody can go home and start preparing. We need resources, sir. If not, that's why we still have less than 3 billion Christians out of 8.5. How many churches have satellite televisions? If another lockdown is coming soon, except God stops it, or by the mercy of God, another pandemic. No, I've said it since last year, and I told you. Have you forgotten? It's coming again. In fact, let me even vomit all the other prophecies now. Another lockdown, except God helps us, another one will come. God showed me in a vision, I was standing with one of the presidents of this world, one of the big ones. In fact, their country is at war. You'll be smart enough to know who I'm talking about. I'm sharing a prophetic vision I had this week. And as I shook his hand, all of a sudden a syringe, you know syringe? Appeared. It's like it appeared from his hand and pierced my hand. And I was like, why will you inject me like this? He looked at me and he was smiling. You know that sinister smile? I went back again, shook his hand. It appeared again. If God does not help us, another pandemic is coming. Then the other one. There's one. We need to say good night to one of the leaders in Africa. I'm not preaching again, I'm prophesying now. We need to say good night. You know what good night is? You know good night? We need to say good night. It will really be a good night and a good morning for that nation. All right? The flag of a nation needs to fly at half mast because of somebody that has been there for long that needs to leave. You are wise. You know, let's leave it there. Amen. If that person does not go, if the good night does not happen, that nation will not be liberated. Let's continue. So, I said the resources we need, number one, yielded men. Number two, financial and material resources. Number three, we need a proactive and systemic approach by the church. A proactive and systemic approach by the church. What do I mean? To be proactive means, you know, to prepare for something ahead, right? To take initiatives at the earliest stage. What I mean by this statement is that the church must start investing in building systems. We talk about taking over systems, take over the social media space, take over, the digital space, of course, take over the market, this one. I think we can also build systems. We can build our own schools. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We can have our own construction companies. We can have our own bakeries. And I thank God for those of us that invest in building systems. Like here now, we have people who own their schools. Here, in this place. There we can determine how the children are raised. The only way this revival will spread around the world is if the church is systemic in her approach. In Joel chapter 2 verse 1 to 11, the Bible speaks about the army that God is raising. You can go back home and read that scripture. And I believe I'm talking to many amongst whom will be in that army. We are living in days where we need God to raise amongst us again Josephs in this revival. Men with the wisdom of God to salvage the economy of nations. A man that delivered the whole world from famine. We need men like that in our days. Men with ideas that nations, presidents will look for. Pharaoh told Joseph, he said, only on the throne will I be above you. But the whole land of Egypt is at your word. Nobody, even a fly, will not lift his finger except at your word. Why? because he brought a wisdom that preserved an entire generation. We need God to raise men like that. We need Deborahs in our midst. Women that became judge or judges in a time when it was a male-dominated society. All the other judges were men, until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. Women that even in a male-dominated system, all of them will bow down for the woman because she's too spiritually and mentally intelligent and efficient. We need women like that. We need Esthers that will rise from the church. I'm talking about what this revival will produce. Women that will be, that will influence the corridors of power. Esther, that got a king to revoke his decree. No, it takes wisdom to do that and save her entire people. We need men like Mordecai, who we call gatekeepers. All you read about Mordecai in the Bible is he sat at the gate. He sat at the gate. But at Esther chapter 10, the Bible says Mordecai became second to the king. And he sought for the good of his countrymen. We need gatekeepers like that. In the automobile industry. In government and politics, we need them. In oil and gas, we need gatekeepers. It's not them that are the main people, but they have access to the main people. Those people around corridors of power. PA to a senator. ADC to a president. ADC to a governor. Those are Mordecai's. Gatekeepers. That will open the gate for believers to have job in an organization. That will open the gate for believers to be recognized in a particular place. We need Nehemiahs. Men that have the wisdom of influencing kings. Do you realize that everything Nehemiah told the king gave him? Everything he asked for. The king said, what do you want? I want this. Take. What do you want again? I want this. And the queen was there. It takes wisdom like that. A man that will come up with a programming on computer. A system, a software. Something that will benefit the economy of a nation. And then go to meet the president. And they look at it and say, my goodness, when do you want to start? Those are Nehemiahs we're talking about. Nehemiahs that will create apps, mobile apps. In the world of fintechs. Nehemiahs that will have the wisdom that can construct drones. Unmanned aerial vehicles. That can go and attack the enemy. Warfare in our dispensation is no longer machine gun. No. So it is Nehemiahs that will stand up with that wisdom. Nehemiah was a builder of a wall. Do you know what building the wall means symbolically? It means repairing a system. They carry you and deploy in Ministry of Defense. And in 6 months, we see your signature. We have them in this country, but they are few. And we need to chance them to rise. We need Obadiahs. Who was Obadiah? 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 4 and 13. The Bible spoke about Obadiah in a time of famine. And in a time where Jezebel was killing the prophets of God. Obadiah hid 100 prophets. And in a time of famine, I don't know what kind of reserve he had. I don't know what kind of storage granary he had. He fed those 100 prophets with bread and water. Do you know that there are men like that in church? There are men like that looking at me. That you see, your own anointing is to look for pastors in villages. Pastors in far away remote places and put them on salary. You know, sometimes we'll come here and teach about finance and say, hey, do something. But sometimes, let's be honest with ourselves. With the way Africa is, with the way Nigeria is, where is the job? No, let's be honest. You are saying, go and work. Where do you work? Obadiah, if not for Obadiah, the prophets of God will be exhausted and Elijah will be left and they will kill him. Do you know how missionaries starve? Do you know what they go through in remote places? Don't you think that God can raise somebody? Even if it's 500,000 from your salary or your income per month. Because you are that blessed. You remove it and then divide it. Let's say you are giving 20,000 every, even as low as 20,000 every month. How many is that in 500,000? And because of you, somebody can wake up and continue preaching the gospel in remote places where civilization has not gotten to. It takes Obadiahs. Obadiahs. That's why God is giving you that idea now. That's why God is saying, go and start selling clothes. It, from clothes, it will become a boutique. From boutique, it will become a fashion line and a brand. Then when you wake up one day and see yourself on Forbes magazine, you are worth $6 million. God will now say, hey, look for 3,000 missionaries and put them on salary. That's why I brought you here. As a young lady of 40, that's why I brought you here. We went to Bio for the crusade. The first day we did welfare outreach. More than 100 people, right, Bishop? Exhausted bags of rice and this one and that one. We had to spend an extra money, more than half a million, to serve the remaining ones that came that day and couldn't get. Now, this crusade we are going for, we are already strategizing. Not just widows and orphans, even pastors need to be reached out to. It will take Obadiahs. I'm looking at them. But you, Obadiahs will need to die to self. Yes, God will not allow you buy enough jewelries like you like. Why? Because you are Obadiah. You have an Obadiah anointing that the prophets of God must not perish because of you. Are you ready to pray this night? Time will fail me to talk about the Nicodemuses and the Josephs of Arimathea that we need. We also need Elijahs, prophets and intercessors. Do you know that the current spiritual need in our world today requires that there should be people in every church that should be praying every day? Do you know what it means to run commanding the day? Please look at me, my people. Do you know what it means to run that thing for every day for 1 year non-stop? Do you know that there are all those people playing instruments you think is for free? All those staff there, do you think is for free? You know, many people look at them or look at people like Pastor Jerry Eze and say, he's making money online. The people behind the camera. The people that will pray on the prayer request after the morning prayers and he goes. That we continue praying there. The generator that we will run. In fact, we were supposed to use that tent. The place he uses for that, his program. We were supposed to use the place. How much did they tell us, sir? 2 million per day. Thank you, Pastor Prince. We were supposed, that place, the event center that Pastor Jerry Eze uses for his morning prayer, that some people are angry with him. Say he's making money. They say 2 million per day. How many days has he been running now? See, the kind of need we have here. The attacks. Satan and demons are on full-time assignment. Lifetime. Every day they are looking for somebody to destroy. The church need prayer groups. Prayer altars that should be set up. There should be people praying non-stop. 24 hours. Don't go to any work. This is your work. We'll put your salary there. Because of the need in our society. If I don't expand like this, many of you will not know why there is pressure on you to know God and to rise. You will not know why. I've said it before, and somebody may be offended. I'm saying it now, and I'm sorry if I'm offending you, but it's the truth. We are 7 years plus, but this pastor you are looking at has not been on any salary or allowance. 2 days in every week, I shut down. I can't tell you how many hours I dedicate to prayer. That one is a command that God has given me for maybe more than 3 or 4 years now. It's a command. Whether I'm preaching or not, whether we close or not. So as I'm doing that one, am I not supposed to go out and hustle and get money for myself? If God does not raise Josephs of Arimathea, if God does not raise Nicodemuses, men with stature. Pastor, continue. Let's ensure that there's food in your house. Ensure that there's this one. Ensure that there's this one. How many staff do you have? Let's ensure that they are well paid. You think it's offering that does it? When you run services that is an average of 300,000 plus per service, miracle service, another one, conference is something else, and the offerings has never gotten to 200,000. It's not offering, sir. It's men. It's men. Men behind the scene. And when I say men, I'm talking all gender. And you'll even be shocked by some people. Some are even small girls. I'm provoking us this night before we pray. If I had my way, you see these guys, no work for them. No work for them. This guy playing the keyboard now that is blessing you. In fact, he's one of the reasons why my ministry blesses you. I'm sorry I'm putting you on the spotlight. He has an 8-to-5 job. He directs an entire department. And you are still hearing this level of skill and anointing. What if we decide that leave that place? Let's put you on salary, $200 every month, and face this place. In less than few months, we will start writing our songs here. Just like you have Maverick Music, we'll have our own here. And it will be sent to nations. See, if we don't wake up, especially the church in the north, if we continue Christianity like this, Jesus may come and meet the north like this. When you travel down south and you see what these guys are doing, this is a secret. There are men. There are some that have to leave what they do and focus on the altar. We are going to pray. But let these things begin to provoke some of us. Some of you, after this night, my prayer is that God will begin to put some ideas inside of you. Some of you need to be as rich as a nation, because there is a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. Imagine if somebody coughs 100 million now, and we just want to deploy it for outreach, not other projects. Outreach. Very simple. Buy our own trucks. Buy complete crusade equipment. Set up teams. We can comb the whole of Southern Borno in 1 year. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's a simple thing. There's money. When there's money, there can be motion. Many people are stagnated because of lack of money. Gather all these guys. Allowances every day. Feeding, taken care of. From one place to another. 2 days in Biu. 2 days in Marama. 2 days here. 2 days there. We come back. Then we go to Uba. Hey, we have more, but I think we should pray here. Can I pray for you right now? In the name of Jesus, the mantle for your destiny, the mantle for your assignment, the mantle needed to expand you and become that which God has raised you to become. The mantle to make you function in this end time army, to play your part in this last day's revival. In the name of Jesus, receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it now. Put your hand on your head and pray in the spirit over that. I receive the mantle for my assignment. I receive the mantle for my calling. I receive the mantle for my destiny. The mantle that will make me step out into that which God has given me to do. Mantles as a kingdom financier. Mantles as a prayer warrior. As an intercessor. As an apostle, as a prophet. As a corporate giant. As a marketplace giant. Receive the mantles now. Name. Please be seated. 5 more minutes and we are done. Hindrances to this revival. We are going to pray this night. Something must drop from heaven on your life and reposition you where God wants you to be. Hindrances to this revival. Number one. If we don't get rid of these hindrances, it will be delayed what God wants to do. Number one, pride and selfishness. Pride and selfishness is a major hindrance. God is always ready to move, but not with proud vessels. Selfishness is the reason why people will not deploy themselves for the cause of the kingdom. Selfishness is the reason why a man is not willing to pay the price required to carry the mantle that delivers his generation. It's one of the greatest hindrances to revival. Pride and selfishness. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. In fact, because of pride, we now have unhealthy competition among believers. Instead of us to deploy ourselves and the resources God has given to us for his end time move, we are now competing with ourselves in church. I'm sorry to say this, but imagine driving to a church that is an uncompleted building. Bad sound equipment. No musical instrument. A church in this our day. Yet outside, more than half of the church park cars. What do you call that? The blessing of God? Itself. A selfishness. Go outside, you see Venza. You see this. Very soon you start seeing Rolls Royce. But when you enter the church, it's incomplete. No speaker. No good speaker in church. No good microphone. No equipment. Even the chair that the pastor is sitting down is almost breaking. Then when you go outside, you see all kinds of cars. What will you, if you were Jesus, what will you say to that church? I'm just giving an example. Pride and selfishness, number one hindrance. May God deliver us from pride. Number two, spiritual lukewarmness. It's another hindrance to revival. Especially prayerlessness. Spiritual lukewarmness. A cold church. Prayerless believers. Once you see that, revival will tarry. And I thank God for the fire of God that is in this house. Spiritual lukewarmness. Number three, identity crisis in the church. That's another hindrance to revival. Identity crisis. Psalms 82 verse 5 to 7. They know not, neither do they understand. They walk in darkness and the foundations of the earth are out of course. For I have said, ye are gods and children of the Most High, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Identity crisis. Do you know why we have misplaced priorities in church? Because of identity crisis. We don't know who we are. Do you know why you find lack of sacrifice amongst believers? Identity crisis. They don't know who they are. If you know that you are a son of the kingdom, you will treat the things of God like a son. A servant is employed. Whether they do it well or not, you pay them and they go. But a son is not paid by his father. What he's handling is his inheritance. So he will do it with everything in him. When there is identity crisis in church, believers will have misplaced priorities. We will treat the things of God with levity. But I see God changing that in this season. Mark 11, 15 to 17. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it to a den of thieves. Instead of us to focus on the important things, evangelism, discipleship. Number four, distorted relationships between fathers and sons. Distorted relationship between fathers and sons. What I mean is that there needs to be a connection between one generation and another generation when it has to do with the move of God. For revival to transit from one generation to the other, there has to be a relationship between the previous generation and the current generation. There must be a connection between fathers and sons. And it's what we are not seeing in these days. You know, the Bible speaks about the former and the latter rain. You know what it means? The former is the revival in the previous generation. The latter is the revival for this generation. There needs to be a combination of both. On the part of the sons, there is lack of humility and submission and honor to the fathers. On the part of the fathers, their own problem is lack of love, affection, and respect for this generation. And God is moving with you. So what? We have seen it. No. Love them in their excesses. Draw them close. And help establish them to continue the move. And that's why the anointing of Elijah is given. In Malachi chapter 4, the last two verses, it says that he will restore the heart of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Have you been blessed tonight? We are going to pray tonight and we're going to call on God. I believe that in this meeting, before we leave, in the next few minutes, God is going to release anointings. God is going to release graces. God is going to release mantles. But we are going to pray those things into our life. How many of you want to be part of the last day army that God is raising? How many of you want to be part of the end time move of God? You don't want to be left out in what God is doing. Tonight we are going to cry. Listen. When we stand up and begin to pray, God is showing me something now. There are five. People here. That have. Let me say the way I'm saying it. Have an unusual prophetic ministry. When we begin to pray, at some point, God is going to release the mantle for their offices. The mantle for their assignment. And it will be evident amongst us. Some of you will receive financial anointings. I hope you know it's not by hard work that people become rich in the kingdom. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. When that financial anointing lands on you, any idea that God gives you will prosper. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's time for God to raise the next Dangotes amongst us. Are you ready to cry tonight? But it will not just fall from heaven. You have to be ready to see it. Like Elisha, you must follow with hunger until you are able to receive it. Please rise on your feet. We are going to pray right now. Have you been blessed tonight? Take 2 minutes and give God thanks for what you have heard. Take 2 minutes and thank Him. Thank Him for what you have heard. Paladila Hatsudra Hasima. Vendra Ketramando Sutra Mandele Behasan. Molo Hoshita Lamahata Lama. Thank Him for what you have heard. Be glorified. Be glorified. Hallelujah. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Hallelujah. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Hallelujah. Be glorified. Sing it with me. Say, be glorified. Glorify. one more time. Say, be glorified. After me, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
There are two prayers we are going to pray tonight, and then I'll minister to us. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Tonight.
Tonight.
I receive.
By grace.
By grace.
Through faith.
Through faith.
The mantle.
The mantle.
The anointing.
The anointing.
The grace
for my assignment
in this service
to equip me
to step out
for the kingdom
in the name of Jesus.
Open your mouth and pray. I receive the mantle, the anointing. Say after me, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Father.
Circumcise my heart.
Take away pride.
Selfishness.
Lukewarmness. And every hindrance.
To your move.
In my life. Open your mouth and pray in the name of Jesus.
Kapaskapanda, epara kapabaskapapa patiata, eporokobosula patela, erukapabasapambrataka, empapamba papa kadabakasuata, empara kapabasapaba, empapapapa papa panda, apabranda papa shambranda
kapabasapa, Finally, the Lord laid this one this afternoon. This last prayer we are going to pray before I begin to minister. The Lord told me this afternoon that we should pray for the speedy manifestation of the prophecies over our life. I don't know how that connects to what I'm teaching, but God told me this afternoon while I was praying that we should pray for that. Many of you are behind time. Many of you need speed. Many of you have been sabotaged by the forces of darkness. But do you believe that in the next 2 minutes, there will be a restoration? There will be a manifestation. Let me share a testimony with you before we pray. I think it was a year or 2 years ago, I met somebody. No, the person met me, my house, and I gave him a prophetic word. I said, I saw the Lord giving favor to your wife. And I saw that God is going to put your wife to have favor with politicians. And I saw her working with a renowned person in this country. That was like 2 years ago or so. Got a text this week. Says, sir, your words have come to pass. A former president, the wife of the president, called his wife, interviewed her, gave her the job even while she was pregnant. when God speaks. Some of you are here, there are words hanging over you. I shared that testimony to encourage you. But right now, under this atmosphere, we are going to provoke the manifestation of every word. Anything God spoke to your family, anything God spoke to your life, I beg you, if you have ever prayed before, the next 2 minutes, open your mouth and begin to war a good warfare. Insist on the manifestation. Insist on the manifestation of every word. Insist. He said, I'm watching over my word hastily.
Please lift your hands. This impartation session is going to be twofold. Let's start with the most imminent one. I see families, I see destinies here, that what is holding your prophecy from being fulfilled is an orchestration of witchcraft, an orchestration of satanic patterns. Lift your hands. I come by the rod of a higher priesthood, and in the name of Jesus, every attack on your destiny, every attack on your prophecy, by the forces of witchcraft, by satanic patterns, ancestral patterns, by a curse that was invoked from hell, I decree that it is crushed in the name of Jesus. We put a stop to it now in the name of Jesus. Please lift your hands. Hear me. Anyone here that the reason why you are not seeing the manifestation of the promises of God is perhaps because somebody has vowed somewhere, or there are forces, there are men partnering with spirits to ensure that they delay you, I stand by the God of heaven, and in the name of Jesus, we bring judgment on those ones. We bring judgment on those ones. Anything holding your prophecy from manifesting, I force it to vomit it right now. In the name of Jesus. Anyone in this place that your prophetic destiny has been tied up, at this point I sense the power of God moving here. Anyone who's calling, whose assignment, whose prophetic destiny has been tied by the forces of darkness, has been tied by delay, has been tied by the manipulations of hell, right now in the name of Jesus, I release you, 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 in the name of Jesus. Please sing that song again. I'm about to pray and release mantles here. Sing that song again. They are going to sing that song two times, and then I'm going to begin to pray. My God, the heavens are open over this place. I see God releasing graces over people. Lift your hands and receive it. Sing.
Yeah.
This is your moment to receive. This is your moment for your destiny to open up. For the mantle that concerns your calling to be activated and released upon your life.
Mantle of power. Mantle of grace.
Lift your hands. The mantle for your assignment is about to come on you. The mantle that will make a prophet out of a weakling. The mantle that will make a giant out of a timid person. Lift your hands.
I see them resting.
Hallelujah.
Hear me? Let's start it like this. The Lord is saying I should declare for the financial mantles to rest upon people. Let's start it from here. Huh? In fact, this my people, ministers, leaders, please lift your hands. I'll start with you people. In the name of Jesus, after them I'm coming to you. Let every financial mantle that is available and needed in your life this season, right now, let it rest on you. Let it rest on you. Let it rest on you. I release it now in the name of Jesus. And for everyone here, I release from heaven every financial mantle. Every financial mantle. In the name of Jesus. Activate the grace for wealth. I activate the grace for wealth, for uncommon wealth. Let it rest on your life now. Let it rest on your life now. In the name of Jesus. Please hear me. I don't know why, but listen. I'm seeing something like a bag. A bag. A huge bag, like a sack. And I'm seeing inside there are coins, gold coins, silver coins. God wants to release the financial destiny of a family here. Hear me? Anywhere your financial destiny has been tied, both for you and that of your family, both for you and that of your ministry, including those that are watching online, right now, I release it your way. I release it your way. I release it your way. I declare a massive restoration in the name of Jesus. I see them resting in this place. Where are the prophets and the intercessors? Lift your hands. Anyone called into the prophetic, anyone with the grace for intercession in the place of prayer, right now, Marata Katoko Skitapaha, I stretch my hands. Let that mantle of Elijah, let that mantle of Moses begin to fall in this place right now. The mantle of Deborah, the mantle of Samuel, the mantle of Jeremiah, prophetic mantles, mantles for intercession. Help them there everywhere. Mantles for intercession. I release it now. I release it now. In the name of Jesus. God is activating the grace for sight, the grace for visions, the grace for visions, the ability to see in the spirit. Anything that has blinded your eyes, any veil that has covered your eyes, I take it off now and I say to you, see, 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 by the power of the anointing, in the name of Jesus. Please help them everywhere. I see them resting in this place. Please put down your hands. If you are a young man and you have a company, I'm not saying you want to start. You are a young man, you have a company. That's like you are into business, whatever kind of thing you do, but you have a company. Please step forward quickly. You are a young man, you have a company. No woman should come out for anybody. I'm just talking to the men here. You are a young man, you have a company of a... I'm not saying you are about to start. It's working. You are doing something with it. My God, the number is becoming too much. Please, make sure you know why you are coming out, okay? Don't come out of... Don't lie and come out, please. All right, so you can. I want, there's something God wants to release on them. I want to pray for the financial heritage over believers in the north, especially in this territory. I want to release it on these ones. We need giants. We need financial giants. Company, you have a company. Please, not business name. Company, company. If you don't have a company, please go back.
Please, just stand here. It's time for God to start raising young. That's what God showed me. It's time for God to start raising young Christian millionaires and billionaires here. All of you lift your hands. Please look at me before I pray for you. Listen. Remember, selfishness is one of the things that hinders revival. Your heart must be open, both to God and to His cause. Are you hearing what I'm saying? As God causes you to excel, you must ensure that everything, part of it must be deployed for the kingdom. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Number two, when God gives you the opportunity to employ people, look for believers first. Look for competent people, but make sure you start with believers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's about to be a revolution in this city. The wealth is about to change hands. All of you lift your hands. Father, I stretch my hands towards these ones. And I speak by the office of an apostle. Let the financial heritage that belongs to believers in this city, that belongs to believers in this territory in the northeast, that has been kept from them from a long time, I release those ancient mantles on these ones. I release them on these ones now. The wisdom, the empowerment, the grace, the favor to become millionaires and billionaires, to change the order of things. Receive it in the name of Jesus. From today, I place speed upon your companies. Governments will look for you. Contracts will look for you. God will make you employers of laborers here. Anyone whose business or company is grounded because of lack of finances, today let every door that needs to open begin to open from now. Listen, from this night, God will begin to wake people that carry what you need to go to the next level. He will wake them up in their sleep and force them to look for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please return back to your seat. Now lift your hands, everybody. Finally, I pray in the name of Jesus. This is the last and the most important. I pray that the mantle for your assignment, for your destiny, for your position in God's end time move. Please lift your hands to receive. Right there where you are. Let the heavens be open right now. Let the heavens be open right now. And let those mantles begin to drop. Let those mantles begin to rest on you. Let those mantles begin to come on you. The equipment that is needed to function, the unction to function, the power to function, receive it in the name of Jesus. Those of you that God is raising for the fashion industry, right now, let the mantle to take over that industry rest upon you. 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 Those of you that are God has called as models, 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 receive the mantle for your calling right now. Receive the mantle for your callings now. Models, 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 that's what I'm hearing. Models, receive that mantle right now. Those of you called into sports and entertainment, the mantle for that field to take over, receive it in the name of Jesus. God will raise footballers here. God will raise basketballers here. God will raise entertainers here. God will raise influencers here. Receive the mantle for your title in the name of Jesus. Those of you called into the field of education, right now, the mantle for your calling rests upon you now. The empowerment to build schools, the empowerment to sponsor people in scholarship, the empowerment and the wisdom to change the curriculums, receive it in the name of Jesus. And finally, those of you that are called into ministry, from today, begin to walk in a fresh anointing. Begin to walk in the mantle that pertains your calling. In the name of God the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Please clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. Are we blessed? We've stretched our times. Just 2 minutes and then we'll go. Thank you for your patience. Let me make an altar call before we go. Please be upstanding, everybody. The first step to being enlisted in the army of God is to be born again. In all of these people here and those following online, let me make a passionate altar call tonight for somebody that needs to surrender to Jesus. Perhaps you are here and Jesus is not Lord and Savior over your life. You are not born again. You don't have a steady relationship with Jesus. Or because of what you have experienced tonight, you feel the need to rededicate your life and become serious with God. I want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus your Lord today. Right there where you are standing, repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I receive your life and I declare you as my Lord and Savior. And I declare that I will serve you all the days of my life. Thank you for saving me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Amen. Please, if you are here and you made that prayer with me, I'd like you to walk to the front quickly so that I can pray for you. Please, let's give them a thunderous applause till they come. You know that you made that prayer. You want to rededicate your life. You are receiving Jesus afresh. You want to have a steady relationship with him. Please run to the front quickly. I want to pray for you. All I want is you. I'm still waiting for you. All I want is you. I'm giving you 5 more seconds. Jesus is calling you. Surrender to him. I'm waiting. I know there are people coming. Forget about your shyness and your pride. Walk up to Jesus now. Let him change your life. Let it be a new day for you. Hallelujah. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all will come to repentance and to the saving grace of Jesus. Stretch your hands towards this one. If there are more people to join them, please come quickly before we pray. Please come quickly. I told you that the first reason for the last day revival is for the massive salvation of souls. Stretch your hands towards these ones and pray for them. Father, we declare that their sins are forgiven. From today, their names have been written in the book of life. We declare that they are redeemed. Fill them with your spirit. Let the power of sin, addiction, Satan and hell be broken off their lives. From today, give them the grace to serve you. The grace to live for you. Satanic patterns in their ancestry, witchcraft attacks around their life is canceled from today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And we declare that they will walk in victory now and forever. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please look at me. This is the best decision you have made. Whether it's your first time or you are rededicating your life. Okay? God wants to mean business with you. God wants you to grow in the knowledge of him. And he wants you to serve him. And you are welcome to this family of God. You'll do 2 things for me. Number one, make sure you are here next Sunday so that you can hear the word and keep growing in your knowledge of God. And I will add to that, that you invite somebody and come with someone, especially someone you know needs to be saved. All right. Number two, please turn to your left and walk straight to that lady waving her hand. Our counselors want to have a word with you before you go. Please go there. God bless you. Celebrate God for them.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.